The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Yeshaya Yaffe, Chaber Sefer Shvilei Tzion, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. The center can be reached for dispute resolution and many other halachic services at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Hamikana le'ishtoi. As we begin Masech Tosaita, a brief introduction is in place. Basically, everybody's in agreement that a kinoi needs two witnesses, except for one Ma'adiyamar in the Gemara, but in the Mishnah here, everybody agrees that a kinoi, a warning of altistery and plainly do not seclude him, so-and-so, is bifnei shnayim, and the stira is a machlaikis, Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yeshua. Rebbe Lezer holds an eid echad, and Rebbe Yeshua holds that even stira needs two witnesses. The lashon of the Mishnah is a little bit interesting. It says, umashka al pishnayim. Perhaps one would have suggested that it should have said Ustira al Pishnayim or Vinisteris al Pishnayim, in other words, that the seclusion, just like the kinoi, has to be in front of two witnesses. Why are we speaking about the Hashkoh as if the Hashkoh is a direct result of the stira, the seclusion? Moreover, if you look in Rashi, Umashka al Piedechad, Rashi says, Acha Shekinesilo Neseris Pistira ad Shetishta. She becomes forbidden with the seclusion until she drinks. I might have thought that she becomes forbidden as a Saita does. The story of a Saita is as follows. Reuben is married to Leah, and he says to her, altistery and plainly do not seclude with so-and-so. And then she goes, and she secludes with so-and-so. So on the one hand, there's no concrete evidence at all that there was a znus in the first place. However, on the flip side, there was definitely grounds for concern because of the improper conduct of her secluding with this fellow that her husband warned her not to seclude with him. And therefore, also known as reglayim ledover, there is reason for concern. So again, we have a kinoi and a stira, we have a warning and a seclusion, which is alarming, but we do not have any concrete evidence, we only have the concern, a.k.a. the reglayim ledover. Why does it say in Rashi, and the Rambam, by the way, as well, says this lashon, that she is asura ad shetish, that she is forbidden until she drinks? Shouldn't the situation be that the Torah said that a saita who has kinoi and stira is forbidden to her husband, and the Torah gave a remedy, or basically a process, of hashkah, of giving her to drink the mayim hamorim, as we'll see later on, like the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Nosoi, and that can prove, if she doesn't blow up, we know that she is clean. Why does it say asura ad shetishta? It sounds like the whole issur of saita was constructed in a way that it was only until she drinks. What exactly does that mean? I would like to discuss numerous different things that come up throughout the Masechta and are very interesting and helpful for all the limud of Masechta Saita. And with that, we might be able to understand this a little bit better. Later on the Daled Amud Aleph, there are numerous shitas in the Gemara about the exact time of the seclusion necessary to be considered a real stira lahalacha that would be between the kinoi and the hashkah, or that would forbid a woman who has kinoi and stira. How long does the stira have to be? In other words, how long does it take to commit the act, which is asering al-baila? How many minutes or seconds, how long does it take? The Gemara discusses over there numerous amount of the Amrim. Taisus over there is quick to point out on top from the Yerushalmi, that of course this is besides the time that it takes for asaras asinah, the removal of the clothing. Because obviously, practically speaking, we're talking about asering isha al-baila biznus. You need to have time for the whole thing to take place, not just the maisa, but also the preparation that is basically mandatory and necessary for the maisa to have happened. Strangely enough, however, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch omit the whole thing. They just say, when they talk about the Isser Isha Labailo from Saita, they do not say anything about the Hasara Sassina. They just talk about the times that they're paskining from that Gemara for the actual Maisa. And this is also, by the way, related to Hilchas Yichud. Obviously, there's the Isser of Yichud. How long is the Isser of Yichud, besides for the discussion of the Isser of Chatzi Shir? So Rav Moshe Feinstein obviously says that besides for the regular time, you also need the time of the removal of the clothing. However, la halacha in Hilchas Saita, in Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch, the Hasaras Asiner is omitted, which is very, very interesting. And the Karen Ura, as well as the Briskerov, ask this question, and they leave it with a tzarechin. How could it be that this is not brought down la halacha? How could it possibly be that legally, the din of kinei and stira asked labaila, even if there was no time for asaras asinah, which basically means that we know that nothing really severe happened. Another fundamental question on the whole Indian of Saita is that the Gemara tells us later on Daf Chafalov and other places, on Daf Zion and so on, that there's an Indian of Schus Toila. Schus Toila means that if the Isha has wondrous merits, they could stand as a schus and help her make it through the drinking of the saita water, even if she actually was mezana, she will survive and not blow up. That being said, every time you go through the process after kinui and stira to give her the drink, and if she doesn't blow up, then presumably she didn't do anything wrong and she's mutter levaila, maybe it was schus taila, and she's still also levaila. How could it be that they can continue as well? How could she go back levaila if the hashkas aside, if the drinking of the water is definitely not 100% demonstration that there was no znus? Maybe there was znus, there was just a schus. She had some type of wonderful merit that was zoicha her that she should be saved from the dangers and the blowing up of the waters. So how could she be then mimuti levaila in the first place? I would like to suggest a little bit of a novel approach to all this, and we'll begin with the Gemara at the end of the second parak about if Aisha could be chayzer v'shaisa. The Mishnah says in Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis that Reb Meir holds that amongst the other things that are included in the Saita process are also that she says Omen Shaloya Tame, which means that when you give Ashkas a Saita, you also include coverage that if she'll ever be Mizana in the future, she'll also blow up as well because of the Mayim Amorim that she's drinking now. So in other words, if she were to drink at one point the Mayim Amorim after Kine and Stira, and she would say Omen Shaloya Tame, that would actually cause that even if she's Mizana 10 years down the road, she'll blow up then because of the previously drunk Mayim Hamorim. So basically, the question is obviously like the Marit and the Mishnah Melech, Karen Oyer, Mechaz Chinuch, many Achroinim wonder, what's the whole sugi over there on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis about if Isha could be Chayzer V'Shoyseh? Why in the world would she have to be Chayzer V'Shoyseh? If the first drinking that she already drank is covering her for life, at any time that she used to be Mizana, the water that she had already drunk will cause it to blow up. So why do you have to drink again ever? One time drinking it is enough for life. Like the Gemara Mishnah says, Amen Shalayatama. And it works, like the Gemara tells us in the middle of the Amen there. So why is there a whole discussion about whether you have to drink again? Perhaps the answer, however, is that if you look in Rashi over there on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph on top, as well as the Taisus on the bottom line of Yud Ches Amud Beis, and likewise in the Rambam, he speaks about a case where the husband who gave her the kinui and the stira and then gave her to drink the mayim amarim actually went and did another kinui. And obviously, presumably, there was another stira after that, and we're discussing about being chayzer v'shoyseh, drinking again the mayim amarim the second time around after a new kinui and a new stira. So I was thinking, and basically I found this whole concept in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker in the Kisvei Maran HaGriz, the Kisvei HaTalmidim of the Brisker Rav in Saita over there, that he brings down that Reb Chaim pondered very strongly that perhaps even if you say Omen Shaloya Tama, that drinking one time works forever, and she says that I will never become Tama in the future, and if I do, obviously the water now will be biting me then, and therefore any time that she's secluded and Chas V'Shalom is Mezana, she would blow up because of the previously drunk Mayim Amarim. Nevertheless, if there's a new Kinei and a Stira and she doesn't blow up, she wouldn't be Mutter Levaila. It's only a verification, a clarity, a demonstration from the fact that she didn't blow up that there was no znus. But nevertheless, if there was a new kinui and a new stira, then guess what? That triggers the need for a new hashkah. The din ha-tayra of saita is that after kinui and stira, you have to do a hashkah. And even though you did a previous hashkah, that hashkah definitely works. The physical powers of the mei saita will work forever. But the din hashkah that the Torah requires after kinui and stira, that has to be done again. And otherwise, she would be also levaila. That's how the Kisvei Talmidei HaGriz conclude the second parak of Saita in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker. That being said, we see quite clearly if this is true, which I think it might be, that a stira requires a hashkah, and it's not necessarily about whether there was nus or not, even though it's obviously all about that, but the structure of the Torah's rule, again, is even though there's only reglayim l'davram, we don't know for sure, the Torah says, if you did kinei and stira, you gotta do hashkah, which is usually a very good demonstration. Yes, there might be a case of schus toila, and yes, there might not have been hasaras hasinner, no less. So we know that there was no znus, but it doesn't matter. The halacha is that you need kinui and you need stira, and then you have hashkah. Sorry, if there's kinui and there's stira, then you need hashkah. Whether or not the question is if there was znus or not, that's not so much the point. Obviously, it's all about that. But the gzeiras hakatzav is that you need to have hashkah. So A, even if there was no asaras hasinner, you still need to have hashkah. And B, even if you had Hashkah earlier, but that would not serve the purpose that Hashkah serves as the Kiyum Din of the Parsha of Soita, that after Kinei and Stira you need Hashkah. If she made a new, if he had a new Kinei and Stira on his wife after the Hashkah, even if she said Omen Shalei Tama, she still would need another Hashkah. Later on in the Gemara on Chafav Amud Beis, the Gemara discusses the possibility that if someone's Mekanei Yasishtoi, Altisteri and Ploini, and Ploini was a Shachaf, which means he wasn't able to properly perform a Maisa Biya. Now normally, the whole Parsha of Soita, like we've been discussing, is all about whether or not she was Nesrael by Leviznus. So if he's not able to do the Maisa, then what is the reason of concern? And the Gemara asks the question, and the Gemara says that it's Bikpeida de Baal Talya Milsa. And the Gemara says, Kamash Rulon, but Lamaisa, the Gemara says, it's Bikpeida de Baal Talya Milsa. It's all about the husband's rules, the husband's kpeda, the husband's concerns, and therefore he has the right to dictate what bothers him, if you will, and what doesn't, even if not necessarily there's a potential of a real znus that's going to answer la halacha al vayla. From here, the Beis Halevi and Chelik Beis Simen Men, as well as Rabban Kotler, derive that in the Parsha of Soita there's a whole new tool called kpeda de baal, and it's not necessarily about the znus itself, but about what the husband, as the owner of the marriage, dictated. And if he dictated Shachaf as a Kinoi, similarly, maybe perhaps we could find such a concept if the husband says Altisteri with a Katan, who not necessarily had the potential to Aser, also would be included. This might be very strongly related to everything that we're discussing. And again, we're just trying to sprinkle a lot of information about what Kinoi and Stira is. And perhaps that's what Rashi and the Rambam mean when they say Asura Achatishta. Because again, it's all about Achatishta. Even if you make a Shtia, and it might have been Schus Toila, and so on and so forth, there might not necessarily be a 100% demonstration of Hetel Abayla because of lack of Znus. But don't forget, we don't know for sure that there was a Znus. It's all about the din of the Torah that was concerned with the Raglayim Ladover. Because of the misproper conduct of Stira after Kinui, that there should be Ashkah. If you did Ashkah, you're Mutter Labayla, as long as Ashkah was done, Kedin. I'll close with an interesting question, some food for thought. The Gemara says on Beis Amud Beis over here, Loi Leima Inish Leitze Bizman Hazeh Leitistri Bahadeh Ploini. A person should not tell his wife, Bizman Hazeh, in the current times, that she should not seclude with someone else, because that can result, chas v'shalom, in being asur l'vayla forever if she, chas v'shalom, is nister. Now suppose a fellow was going out of town, or even if he was just going somewhere, and he tells his wife, you know, Don Gabriel Weinberger, the plumber, is coming today to fix the sink. Make sure not to close the door and lock it, because that could be a shayla of yichur. Or if he just says, make sure not to lock the door when Don Gabriel Weinberger is here. That's basically like saying Altisteri and Ploini Bizman Hazeh. And if Chas v'Shalom they close the door for a second, they might really be up the creek. What is the answer? Not only that, but you don't even have to have a Yiddish plumber, because Altisteri and Ploini is also even by a goy, like the Gemara says later on in Chavav and Beis, and that's how we paskin la halacha and the Rambam and so on. If you're still there, I'd like to suggest perhaps the answer to this question is that when somebody says, don't lock the door, or be careful not to lock the door, and stuff like that, and we know clearly, or even if we don't know clearly, it was all meant with regard to prevention from the Isser of Yichud, as opposed to any kinui, or suspicion, or warning, then it wouldn't be called a kinui, and it wouldn't be included in this din, and therefore, of course, it wouldn't be a kinui, and it would be mutter. More on this can be found in Eben Ezer, Simen Kufay and Ches, and the Pesach Chuvus of Kadon Tesval.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.